This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you doing? I hope you've recovered after this Thanksgiving. We don't have Steve-O today. We've got Rodney. Rodney, how the hell are you?
Hopefully they just made an extra plate of turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes, all that works, and they just took a nap afterwards. That's how I felt. That's what I wanted to do after watching that game.
I'm sorry.
About halfway through it, I wanted to take a nap, but yeah, that was brutal. That was tough. It was tough to watch. It's just the effort and just – we're better than that. Like, we are. The team, I get it. This isn't our year. We're struggling. But we've got to be better than what we put together the last few weeks. We've got to be. And I get it. Zeke is an impact player. He's not there. It's going to hurt. I just can't imagine that we're that bad without him.
Yeah, I know. And I said that all along that, okay, we've got running backs that could fill in the spot. By the way, we're going to get to McFadden. We'll get to that in a minute here. But I just don't see our defense stepping up. I didn't see our magnificent number 90 coming down on the quarterback. Gave Phillip Rivers. You put any pressure on Phillip Rivers, man, he just tucks the ball in and voluntarily goes down.
Yeah.
He's not a type of guy that's going to scramble or anything like that. And we let this guy off the hook. Stop bringing up Sean Lee. We've got other linebackers, too. Our DBs are not playing up to par.
Right.
Every third down, I noticed we were stopping the run. We were putting a stop to that run, and then third down and six, third down and eight, third down and ten, boom. They find a wide-open tight end, or they find a wide out that's like, it's not even close, man.
Right. You know, you're exactly right. Again, of course, Sean Lee not being there is hurt. It hurts. He's an impact player. But again, like, he's only one player out of 11. Now, he's a very important, but probably the most important player on our defense. However, the effort was not there. The tackling was
horrible,
atrocious.
Horrible tackling.
Week after week, it's been bad, and it just got worse. It got worse. I didn't know it could get worse, but it did. And
right.
it reared its ugly head this week, or this last week. And, you know, you're right. We didn't get any pressure on Phillip Rivers. He's prone to throw interceptions, but how do you do that? You get a little pressure on him.
Frustrate him.
Yeah, frustrate him. Hit him, knock him down, get in his face. He's going to take chances, and you can get some interceptions out. But he sat back there all day, and he got the pick of the litter. He only had, what, 6 incompletions? He was 27 out of 33.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And I just don't have any more excuses back there. I mean,
it's effort.
All I'm saying is throughout this time is Sean Lee's not there. Elliott's not there. But the people that are there should start making some sort of an impact, some noise, of stepping it up. Folks, we're the Dallas Cowboys. We've never relied on one player to bail us out. And now all of a sudden we got one player right now out on offense, and now we expected Dak Prescott to be the guy that leads us the rest of the way until Elliott comes back, and he hasn't shown me anything. He did have time to throw the ball this week. It wasn't like the week before, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. He made some poor choices. You know, again though, his overall. What I saw against the Chargers kind of felt similar to that game, even though his completion percentage was much better this week. It felt similar to the Denver game early in the year where, yeah, he completed 20 out of 27 passes, but he was only averaging about 6 yards a pass, maybe 7 yards a pass, right? So it just – you know what I mean? It just – there was no flow, absolutely no flow. And yes, it starts with the quarterback on. Well, I would say it starts with the play calling, which I'm still disappointed in some play calling. But then Dak has got to be, better. I do think he's better than what he's led on. But I do also think now we're starting to see that Dak is better as a part of a system rather than being, you know, the Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo,
right.
Tom Brady, whatever, that's got to carry the team.
Yeah.
He's got to have some help around
him.
Very
well
said.
And
he's not getting that right now. Why? I guess because Zeke's out. I still just have a hard time believing that Zeke made that kind of impact to where our team can only score 6 points against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Right.
Will we be hurt by the absence of Zeke? Of course we would be. Does that mean we're going to win every game? No. Does that mean – but I just – the competitiveness wasn't there, that's what I don't understand.
That's what I was getting at. We should still be competitive.
Right.
Even without Zeke, I just thought that we got Morris back there. I just feel that he's not seeing the receivers. I don't know if he's scared to throw the ball downfield, to make another interception, but – I'm telling you, and these 6 yard passes are probably three 4 yard passes,
right,
and 2 yard run, mm-hmm, on top of that. So you gotta spread that defense out. And another thing, you brought up a great point: the play calling, run, pass, punt. I mean, this right. is like the old Tom Landry football,
right?
This is unacceptable.
Right. No, I agree.
This is unacceptable.
Completely agree. And I thought that I even was almost begging for it at sometimes as. You know, it's like in the NFL, and I get the game has kind of migrated that way, but it's almost as if, like, well, it's third down, we have to throw the ball. Doesn't matter, right? We have to throw the ball. So there was a part of me when I was watching that game, it just said before – it was first and 10 before this, you know, the drive even started, or before that new set of downs even started. I said, I just want to see them run the ball 3 times in a row just to do something a little bit different. You know what I mean? And just they were predictable. You could have we could have called the game from our armchair quarterback seats.
Right.
You were like, well, this is going to be a run. And there it is.
And
2 yards.
What? Prescott, if you're seeing them read, it's going to be a run. They're moving up to the line. Change it. Change it to a little pass to the or to the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just got to loosen that defense up. Maybe that's one thing that Elliott brought to the table that really stood out, is he stretched out the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like they're playing a lot closer. You got those defensive ends. You got the corners that are sneaking in there. A little pressure on Dak. He runs really wacky, by the way. I mean, he doesn't like run like a Romo to where he's still looking – for that wideout, he's looking just to get rid of that ball.
Right. He does. I don't want to say he's running scared. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it, but I agree with you.
He ran 10 yards backwards on one play. I'm like, where the hell are you going?
Right. Yeah.
Where are you going?
I think the team has just completely lost its identity, and I think, in all honesty, I think the problem that the team is having today and has had the last couple weeks is greater than just the last 2 weeks. I think that – you know, we've brought it up, the air, you know, this whole balloon around whether or not Zeke was going to be playing week after week. You know, is he going to play this week? Is he not going to play this week? Oh, he's playing great. You know, it felt like it kept getting, you know, more full. And then finally, we lost him for 6 games, and it's like somebody popped it.
Right.
And now we don't know what we're doing. Who are we? What are we doing? Are we a running team? Are we a play action team? Are we a throw the ball down the field team? Like, it just completely feels like they've lost their identity. And don't get me wrong, I rarely try to make excuses for the players, but I feel as though this has got to come from the top. I think it's a trickle down situation that we're in, and I'm sorry, I got to include Jerry in it, but then the coaches and then down to the players. I just feel like this whole season has been one giant distraction, and now we're seeing what's left of it, you know. And I like I said, we can argue about whether or not Zeke should have fought it and do all that. I don't even care, like, about the, you know, well, I shouldn't say I don't care, but just in general, I feel like just once it finally happened, that balloon had just been building week after week, and now it's gone, it's fluttered, it's gone, and we don't know who we are anymore.
Well, it's almost like going to a steakhouse, and they've run out of steak, and they're making hamburgers looking like steak.
Right.
I mean, you gotta change the menu around. It still cannot be Zeke Elliott type of offense. You got to switch it around, and I don't think Morris is that type of back. I mean, I was happy by his running, but again, they were downs that you would expect a pass. I mean, a draw or something like that is not going to do do the job either, you know?
Right. So. Yeah, you know, and again, I still feel like we ran the ball just fine, just looking at the numbers. You know, Rod Smith had 9 carries, sold it Alfred Morris. Smith had 41 yards, Morris had 36. So, yeah, it's not like a huge eye-popping number, but, you know, 20 for 79, average of 4 yards, like, I'd be pretty happy with that, knowing if we saw the stat after the game and not knowing the result, we'd say, that's about what we would expect, right? You know, we don't have Zeke. We're not going to run the ball for 200 yards. But what you want to do is them to both be effective and both of them average 4 yards a carry. What else would you want from a running back? Really, you know what I mean? When it comes down to it, if you're running 4 yards a clip, you're at 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
I like our chances at that. Generally speaking, in the past, I would like our chances at that point.
I don't know why we got rid of McFadden. I don't know why we dropped him. I don't know why he didn't play him. Classy guy, too. Classy guy. He just sent this out November 26th at 9:30 in the morning. Just want to say thank you to the Dallas Cowboys. I grew up a Cowboy fan, and it was awesome to wear the star on my helmet. I wish my boys all the good luck.
Yeah, I think, and honestly, and I don't know, I haven't heard any official reports or anything like that, but I just don't feel like he was healthy enough to play where he was going to be able to contribute, I guess, because otherwise, why would he not have carried the ball? I mean, he did. I think he carried the ball, once or twice maybe total?
I don't know the deal on that, but I wish that we would have traded him early on then.
Yeah.
And
right. Well, instead of just letting him walk. Now we get nothing out of it. Yeah.
I mean, come on. There were teams out there that needed a running back. And if you're not going to play this guy, I was going to call him a kid, but McFadden is a journeyman that's played well. Played well everywhere he's been. Even at the University of Arkansas, he was outstanding there. I just don't know if we gave him enough chances here.
Well, and that's why I tend to lean towards the thinking that his medical reports would make him somewhat untradeable, I guess, you know, with the issues of his for his health. That's why I'm saying, like, it has to be that kind of a reason. Because, you know, either why did we not get rid of him, yes, when the other team's needs presented themselves, or why did we not use him? And I just – there's got to – and that's why I feel like that common denominator there is – that his medical records reports were not as good, or he just wasn't healthy, and they weren't going to be able to trade him, and they just kind of had to keep him around, and then eventually the numbers game that you have to play with the roster when you lose your kicker and, you know, some of these other things, that eventually he was just going to be a byproduct of that and was going to have to go.
They did release Mike Nugent as well this week, and that was coming. We did pick up a defensive lineman. Dayton Jones.
I don't know a whole lot about him. So
Dayton Jones,
tell you.
A former first round pick of the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
How about that? So,
I knew that he's been around a little bit. I mean, I've heard the name, but if you want a scouting report from me, I'm probably not the person to get it from.
Well, Jones had career sacks with 9 career sacks, all with the Packers from 2013 to 2016. He appeared in 3 games with the 49ers this season before getting released last week. So
I wonder, the obvious question is, why is he available? And he got released from a team that's whatever the hell their record is. Hopefully the silver lining is we needed some depth in the defensive line, and hopefully it changed the scenery. And he's still young. He's 27. It's not like he's an old bird necessarily, but so maybe a change of scenery and he can help us out somewhere.
Well, I think that's good for Irving, because he hasn't had any luck when they put him on the inside like that.
Right.
He's like, shit, man, I'm not productive at all in the middle. I'm just shooting whenever there's a trap play. He doesn't know how to read that. He just throws himself in there like a Chinese bandit.
Himself out of the play.
Yeah,
instantly.
And he's not used to that.
Yeah.
So now you could possibly move him to the defensive end spot, Lawrence on the other spot there, and put this guy in the middle who's had experience in the middle, who's not just going to throw his whole body right there and just get kicked out of the play.
Right. Yeah, that's what we're going to have to hope for.
Yeah, I mean that's why they signed him, I'm assuming. But we wish nothing but the best here at Cowboys Podcast for McFadden. I hope another team does pick him up, and I hope he still becomes productive.
Yeah, no, I loved McFadden. I loved when we had him, and his whenever he did have here in Dallas when he was here, he did have some great bursts. A handful of games that he was really productive in, and you saw it. You're almost like, wow, boy, he's still got something left in the tank, doesn't he?
He didn't have the speed, but he just knew where to cut and
absolutely.
All that. I don't see that out of Morris as much. I think Morris is that type of back that. Looks for the hole, and then, okay, then if it closes, he's not looking to the left or right. He's just going to go plow right in the middle.
Right,
there.
Right. No, absolutely. And I think something that you brought up earlier, Jono, was that the defense was – they were just kind of creeping up. Like they weren't, you know – the defense is able to play against us not afraid that our running back is going to break off a 30, 40, 50, 80-yard run because they're just not – because it's not Zeke back there. Zeke always has the home run capability. Morris and Smith do not. So that does change the way defenses are able to game plan against us. And not only that, that also limits kind of what we can do as an offense. We just don't – it's one less weapon that we have in our arsenal.
What is holding Zeke – or not Zeke, but Dak back this year from last year or previous this season? I mean, the guy is not seeing downfield.
Right.
And we got Cowboy fans out there jumping Dez's ass. I don't know how the hell Dez even fits in this equation. I mean, you got to get the ball to Dez first before you can rip on Dez.
Well, let me answer the first part first. And then, so let me go Dak, and then I'll come back to Dez.
Yeah.
Because I have some thoughts on Dez as well. So to start with Dak, and we've talked about it, he was more of a system quarterback in college, okay? And I think all the stars aligned perfectly for him last year because we had an excellent offensive line. We had a fresh, young, hungry running back who was a superstar. We already had the superstar wide receiver. We had Beasley, Terrence. We had plenty of weapons around him. So, like, the stars all aligned where it, for Dak last year, literally, it felt like as though he just had to turn around, hand the ball to Zeke. Zeke would run for 4, 5, 6, 7 yards, break one off. Or he would turn around, he would fake the ball to Zeke, and someone's going to be open. His first option was almost always open last
play
year.
Play action, too.
Right, it was off the play action. So it was easy for him in a way, and it looked easy. It kind of gave us that false sense of security that, hey, you know, yeah, he was a late-round pick and everything else, and, you know, like we found this diamond in the rough. And let me be clear, I'm not jumping off the Dak bandwagon or anything, but yes, he's clearly struggling. I think we're starting to see him have the league is caught up to what Dak has done to this point, so it's going to be up to him to answer back, and he's going to have to do more in the film room, more during practice, more whatever, and he's going to have to give the team confidence that he's the guy moving forward. Okay, so now to go to Dez. I am one of those people that have been off of Dez. I'm tired of watching him walk out of the huddle. I'm tired of watching him kind of half-ass running his pass or his blocking on running plays because you see it, and I see it. I think other fans have seen it. One of my other criticisms of him lately has been, I get it, and we've talked, you know, when the ball goes up in the air, it's kind of a 50-50 ball. Well, if he's supposed to be the superstar receiver, he's got to go up and get it and win that battle more times than not. And I'm personally disappointed that I don't feel as though everything has to go well for Dez to be Dez. You got to get him the ball early. You got to get him involved. Otherwise, he gets down on himself or pissy or whatever it is that he does. And I'm too old school for that. I don't like it. I've never liked it. I like Dez on our team, but God damn it, I am tired of him being a little baby sometimes. It is. It's like a little baby that wants his toy, and he doesn't get the toy. He goes in the corner and pouts for a while. Then you give him the toy, and he's kind of like, oh, everything's all good again.
Right.
Until you take the toy away from him.
But haven't we had throughout our
Absolutely.
Cowboy history
it's not just
that
Dez,
type of wideout?
Yeah, I get
and
it.
You know what? They have been very productive. Me, myself, I am very much a Dez fan. I think Dez is still very productive. See, I'm kind of seeing it a little differently. I look at Dez like, if the ball can be catchable, I'm going to throw it in Dez's way. I'm not seeing these balls coming out crisp right to the guy either. I mean, he's got to go 3 feet to the left, 3 feet to the right, 4 feet above his head. I mean, come on. This ball is not coming to him as easily as it once did.
No, I get that. For me, again, if you want to be a big-time receiver, talk the big game.
But the ball's got to be thrown to me, too.
Did he get his hands on it?
I don't know. Well, there were some times when I seen the ball just – he looked more like a defensive player than an offensive player.
That does happen from time to time.
It happens a lot more frequently now in the last 2-3 games I'm seeing it.
Yeah. I would respectfully disagree. I think it's more 50-50 probably.
Okay.
You know, but I see your point. I do. It's not so much. Okay, so the problem I have with Dez is less that. That is a factor because I want him to be the number one receiver and go get the ball every time.
Right.
No question. Unrealistically, yeah. Maybe. But the part that I just cannot stand is that we have to give him the ball early, otherwise he's not going to be a factor. Or if when the game's not going well, he's on the sidelines yelling at the coaches and doing this or getting in Dak's face and all this other stuff.
We were texting before the games or middle of the game. You're saying the same thing that Dez is saying. Stretch that ball out. Get that ball going. The 6-yard passes in the middle or on the sideline, and we need 10 yards or we need 9 yards for a first down. Throw the damn thing. Throw the damn ball out. And I think that's what Dez is complaining about. Stretch this ball out a little bit. If you stretch it out, then the defense will show a little respect and play a little back again.
But this isn't new with Dez. This isn't just this year. This has always been his MO. He's always been a little bit of a diva. Which has become the wide receiver position in general.
Exactly. Okay? I mean, all the number ones but out there, you see him wanting the ball.
What I do see, though, from a Antonio Brown, for example, is that he goes and gets it.
Yeah, but Big Ben's been throwing the ball really well.
I get it, but
Why
does it have to be perfect for Dez for him to be a super – you know what I mean? Like, I feel like
– I'm just saying make the damn thing catchable.
I know, but I feel as though a superstar is supposed to be – a superstar is supposed to elevate the rest of us around them.
Right.
Where a good player has to have things go perfect for them to be effective. Or to be their best.
Right.
A superstar doesn't have to have everyone else's best around them. His best is good enough to make the rest of them better.
Well, what about then Michael Irving? I mean, that guy is the clone, or Dez is the clone of Michael Irving. Right. I mean, I see a lot of him and Michael Irving.
Let's not confuse those teams with what – you know what I mean?
But, like, okay, then let's talk about this. They had an offensive line back then.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We have an offensive line now.
Yep.
Our running back, they had Emmett. Now we have Emmett. I mean, we have Zeke. We have Zeke.
Yep.
I don't know how far of a comparison they had back then in 1990s. They had a excellent tight end. We now have an excellent tight end.
I think the difference between those teams and this team is the defense.
Defense, right. Okay. I really think you're right.
Without question. And because that defense was able to turn the ball over more often, give that offense, the 90s offense, more opportunities to score, which was loaded with talent. Our defense does not turn the ball over. We bend. We bend and bend and bend. We're on the field for 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes at a time.
Right.
Gassed so that come, you know, halfway through the third quarter and fourth quarter, they're dog tired. And then the tackling looks just awful.
You know what? This is great. This is great here. Their defense back then, our defense back then, front line, the leader of that group was Haley. In the linebacking crew, it was Ken Norton Jr. And on the back, it was Darren Woodson.
Right.
Now, if we look at our defense now, we have one player that's supposed to be the leader for the defensive backs and the leader for the defense line, and that is Sean Lee.
Right.
And that's not how it should be played. I mean, back then, you had three guys that controlled each department. Would you say?
Absolutely.
We don't have that.
Yeah, each line of defense we had a check mark next to it because they had a superstar at each one of those levels.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, defensive linemen looked up to Haley, and the linebackers looked up to Ken Norton Jr., and our DBs all looked up to Woodson.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like we don't have that anymore. I think right now our defense – and let me ask you this too, Rodney. The game just seems like it goes so fast now when the Cowboys are playing. Because it just seems like our offense is never out on the field, but maybe two series per quarter.
Right. Well, that's because we've lost our identity. Our identity last year was we controlled the ball. We controlled tempo. We ran the ball when we wanted. We threw the ball when we wanted. We controlled the clock.
36 minutes in that last game, the Chargers held the ball. We held the ball for 23 minutes. Yeah. That's huge.
That is not what we were last year, and that's not what the team was designed to do. The team is not designed to be behind in games and drop back and throw the ball all over the place and just come back from 14 points down. Now, because last year, if we go back and look, we wish we had more of a statistician here, but if you go back and look at the game, the 13 games that we won last year, I guarantee you more than half of those, probably 60 or 75% of those, were ones where we scored first, we controlled the ball, we made the teams chase us.
Right.
And that's where that defense was able to do just enough. Why? Because we already had the lead, so it was okay if they bent a little bit. Go ahead and let that other team take 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes to score either a field goal or a touchdown. Why? Well, we still had the lead.
Right.
That's how that formula was designed to work, and it's been completely flipped on its head this year, and that's why we're 5-6.
Now, how much do you put in factor that Garrett can be the problem to this as well? We're seeing a lot on the internet that Jason Garrett, they're calling him the clap man. I mean, how much can this be contributed to our head coaching?
I think he has to share in the blame. Is it all his fault? No. I think he has to share in the blame. So here's what I'll say about Jason Garrett. One thing I like about him, or what his appearance is that he's a steadying influence, right? He's very even keeled. When it's bad, you don't necessarily know it. When it's good, you don't necessarily know it either. Yeah, he's supportive of his players, but in general, he seems pretty middle of the road, mild-mannered for the most part. That doesn't mean he can't get upset or anything like that, or rah-rah, nothing like that. But generally speaking, he's a steady influence. And that works for a team that's 13-3. Now, this year, I do think some of that blame has to come on him because he is slightly less decisive than other coaches. He's slightly less, get up in someone's ass and really let them have it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this team needs to be shocked back to reality.
Right.
In fairness to him, that's not his style. So, we don't expect him to be somebody that he's not. I think there absolutely has to be some blame shared with Jason Garrett and the entire coaching staff.
But shouldn't we focus in? Well, let me ask you this: if there was a coaching change down the line, do we look at a defensive minded coach over an offensive minded coach? Because you know what everyone's talking about or talked about in the past, Peyton. I wish we had Peyton as our head coach. But you know what? His New Orleans Saints, they gave up a lot of points all the time. It was always Breeze that had the counter of 35-28 or a 42-38 type of game.
Right.
So it's not like Peyton had the answers for defense either, and that's where we're really weak at right now.
Yeah. You know, to answer that question, I don't know. It depends on what your personnel is at the time, I guess. I think if we had to make a coaching change today, I guess you would probably say we should go more defensive-minded. What's the team going to look like 2 years from now or however long Jason Garrett is there? What's the personnel look like at that point? Because I think when you're looking for a head coach, you do have to try to find that balance. What's your greatest strength right now? Have a coach that can complement that. What's your greatest weakness? That coach will then also be able to turn that tide around. That's how I would look at it If I was going out to try to find a head coach, what can he complement our greatest strength, and what can he do with our greatest weakness, and how can he turn that around?
Well, it's not going to take much to find that on the stats, because passing first downs, the Chargers had 17 passing first downs. We had 8. They're rushing first downs. This is like really tells you right here. Rushing first downs, they had 4. We had 4. The point is, we were stopping them on that line, but they're not stopping them from the passing. The right. Passing, our DBs are not in line to what's going on. I don't know what the hell's going on, but they're wide open. These wideouts they should not be 5-6 yards open.
Right. I would like to think it's because they're young. That's kind
how
of
how long are we going to use that goddamn excuse
for the rest of this year?
Yeah.
And if it continues into next year, then we're going to know they're just not good enough. They're not talented enough. But for right now, I'm trying to hang my hat on that combination of them being young and being poor fundamentally. That's the more frustrating part than anything. I mean, Jesus, I'm so sick and tired of this just lollygagging arm tackle and stuff. They look. I mean, but you know what? So to me, did it look like lack of effort or lack of fundamentals?
I would say both.
Right.
I am not seeing. I'm not seeing the aggressiveness. I'm not seeing when they get past that 5-6 yards on the Cowboys. It seems like we're seeing a lot of arm tackling.
Yeah.
I mean, two, 3 weeks ago when that Kansas City Chief play, did you see? How much of a – hey, you make the tackle. Make the tackle. It was
the
end of the
around.
First half. Go up there and hit him. Don't let him come at you
right.
In the next 5-6 yards to get a touchdown. You got to go get him, man.
Yeah.
And they just – none of them wanted to attack him.
Nope. That's a problem. That's a big problem. What I was hoping for in the offseason and after the draft is, I wanted our DBs, I want our defense to be nasty. To, you know what I'm saying? Like, just get after and rip people's heads off. And that was farthest thing from the damn truth I've ever seen. Because, you know, you're right. They seem as though they're just expecting someone else to make a play. So is it because they don't like contact? Well, you're in football. Get out.
Right.
Okay. Or is it like lack of coaching? So you don't know what to do? No. I have no. You're a football player. You go hit the who has the ball. You go hit them. Plain and simple. And you can't arm tackle because by the time if that running back gets through the linebackers is into the secondary, they've got a full head of steam, and an arm tackle is just not going to do it. Not going to cut it. I'd much rather them pull the D on and roll on the ground and, you know, like make them have to jump in the air or trip or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time with poor fundamentals and what appears to be lack of effort. So then to the point of fundamentals, is that a coaching issue? Because this is a league-wide problem. Tackling has become worse and worse. Or in this situation, can we say that then is – a lack of coaching and preparation at that point. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I think I just don't want to generalize this answer. But I think the NFL now has become to a point to where they don't want to stick their head in there. They're worried about fines.
Right.
They don't want to hurt themselves for their salaries. I don't see those days of the Cliff Harris and the Charlie Waters and the Darren Woodsons and the Ronnie Lott's out there.
No, I think you're onto something. I think that that's a very realistic possibility. Player safety, like you said, the fear of the fine or the health issue then with concussions and sticking their head in there, and it's becoming an arm tackle sport, which just it's not good for the product and. It's not good for your team.
I kid you not. Last night I seen a play. I think it was the New Orleans Rams game. And I'm telling you, he didn't touch him. And they gave him a unsportsmanlike conduct.
Oh, yeah. No, I did see that. But the player had already gone to the ground and the DB just kind of rolled over the top of him.
Yeah.
And
he did not touch
Awful.
Him. And that was 15 yards
right.
on top. And I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Right.
I mean, come on. The guy, I was kind of pulling for the Rams. I don't know. I'm not a Drew Brees fan, and we were watching Sunday. But you know what? Nothing happened there. You can't move the balls like that.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. No,
I don't think there. Yeah, I don't. Unless we were to take a giant poll of the entire league and as far as that goes. But I would like to. I wish we could ask all the coaches and everything as to why tackling is so poor. And they probably would give us an answer similar to what we just talked about, a combination of those two things.
Yeah. Folks, we're in the halfway point, a little bit more on that. Subscribe to our show on iTunes. Go to Stitcher. Go to Podcast Beam. We've got on Android, Google Play, on Stitcher, RSS, Apple Podcast. You know, we're out there, and if you guys haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. And you know what? Give a big thumbs up to our show on the review on the iTunes there. You guys do that, that's big time for us. It really helps us out. And if you're going to buy anything on Amazon, go to cowboyspodcast.com, and on your right-hand side, you'll see Amazon. Click on Amazon. Right now is the best time to shop on Amazon, too. It's Monday, so get out there. And if you're going to shop on anything with Amazon, why don't you go through our site first at cowboyspodcast.com. On your right-hand side, you'll see Amazon. Click on Amazon. You won't see us again, and shop away as you were about to anyway, you know? So, yeah, we're talking about this week, last week, Thanksgiving. You know, it was a great day, but I tell you, man, that loss really pisses people off if you're a Cowboy fan. And it just to the San Diego Chargers, or not San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers, we lost to both Los Angeles teams. Can you believe that?
It's tough. And, you know, again,
two expansion teams.
When we lost Zeke, I knew it was going to be an uphill battle. Without question. I never thought for one second that this is what it would look like.
What did you think we were going to go? I thought we were going to go 4-2.
I kind of thought 500, 3-3. Like, just kind of in that, you know, we were going to win some, we were going to lose some. But right now, it's unbelievable. I don't get it. And maybe Zeke is that valuable. Maybe he is. I still have a hard time believing that he is.
Do you give Dak the big contract? And now knowing what you're knowing now about who's valuable and who's not that valuable. I have a hard time pulling out that empty check right now.
When do we have to make that decision is what I would say to that. How much more time do I have? What's it going to look like? How much longer do we have? What are the rookie contracts? I don't even know. I shouldn't even say anything out loud because I don't even have the answer.
But, you know, Jerry, yes, he likes to sign early, lock him in on a big contract.
And I think at this point he's going to have to pull the reins back just a little bit and let the rest of the season play out, and we're going to have to go into next year once we get Zeke back and see what the team looks like then, because, again, I feel like use the analogy I used earlier. Last year, all the stars aligned for Dak. And he looked as though he has already arrived in this league. And I think at this point we do have to be careful with the ebbs and flows of the seasons and players' ability and, you know, how they're performing, the players' performance. So let's ride it out a little bit longer. You know, he has to get better, though, because what we saw in the last 3 weeks is him trying to do too much. And, you know, clearly that is not his game. He's not a Tom Brady, Drew Brees, whoever, drop back and pass and sling it all over the field. He has to be a part of a well-oiled machine, and that is obviously not what we are right now. So then to that point, I don't know how big of a check do we write for him then at that point.
Exactly. Because that's what I was saying.
The quarterback position is obviously the most valuable in the entire league, without a doubt. So – you know, what else can you get? What else is available? Are there going to be any free agent quarterbacks out there? You know, who's coming through the draft? And then, as we all know, it doesn't really matter how good you are in college. It doesn't mean it's necessarily going to translate to the NFL. So sometimes whenever you have your guy, you know, a superstar or not, you just kind of have to ride him out for a while.
Passing 168 yards in that game and Rivers, 434 yards, 168 yards, and what have we scored now? one touchdown or two touchdowns in two games? What is that?
It's well, we had seven.
We had six we, this time.
So
but
we
it
had
was
seven against the Falcons, nine, and that was all field goals against the Eagles, and then 6 points against the Chargers.
So in three games, we've had two touchdowns.
Correct.
That just doesn't cut it.
No, not at all.
That
nope,
just doesn't cut it.
Not
I
at
mean,
all.
Honest to God, I you guys could say all the hell, whatever the hell you guys want to say about Dak, but two touchdowns in three games, that just does not cut it.
No.
And Witten, I'll tell you what, the guy's open in the end zone.
Yeah,
throw the ball.
That was bad.
Throw the ball, will you?
That was bad. And then the 2-point conversion in, where he overthrew the guy who was open. In the, was that Witten that was in the end zone?
I don't know, but
he threw it like 8 feet over his head. It wasn't even close. Yeah, it was bad. Dak was bad, and he knows it. I didn't see any post-game comments from him. Did he own it? Did he step up and take it and say, you know what, I was really bad? I didn't see it, and I say that because I didn't really seek it out because I was over anything to do with that football game, so I don't know. I didn't see any post-game comments or video or anything where, you know, if he's – I'm sure he probably did. He seems like a professional. He probably took it on the chin and did that.
It was on our site. It was on our Cowboys podcast on Facebook, and he was, you know, post-game interview, and he made it out to be we.
Right.
And, you know, I like that in the sense that, you
I
know what,
it.
You're – you're weeing now. You were weeing then, too, whenever we were winning as well. But you know what? When it's 168 yards with a couple of interceptions, I think he's had four interceptions now in the last two games.
Right, which is very uncharacteristic for him. That was what was great about him last year is that he didn't turn the ball over. He didn't try to force the issues all the time. And right now that's exactly what he's doing, and he's obviously turning the ball over. So.
Right. And now this coming week, we're taking on the Redskins, a short week. It's on a Thursday, and this is not too shabby of a Redskin team now. It's a whole different team. Last time we played them, their whole offensive line was gone. Well, not this time around. They're back.
Yep.
And they're tossing the ball. Cousins loves to get rid of that ball, and he loves to complete these balls. And I don't know what kind of answer we got for him.
Right now, well, the way we've played the last 3 weeks, we don't have an answer. The way we look right now, the Redskins are a better team than we are. They're trending a little bit in the right direction.
No,
we're going the opposite way. I don't think you'll find
here.
too many people that are going to argue that point. And they smell a little blood in the water. They see that we're struggling. They're starting to feel good about themselves, and we beat them last time, so they're going to try to stick it to us.
Right.
So,
and they had the same problems we have now with the offensive line, but we're going to be back. I think Zach right now, he had a concussion, but I think he'll be able to. They walked him through practice today.
Right,
so
well, that's good. I mean, we can't take any more. We can't take too many more injuries.
I mean, if Zach Martin doesn't play and Tyron Smith doesn't play, I mean, what the hell are we going to do here? Tyron Smith's playing, but he's got a groin pull problem.
Right, yeah,
he's got a back
up,
problem.
Banged up. What do we do? We run for our lives and, you know, I don't, Chinese fire drill or whatever they call it. Just run around. So.
Like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, out. Seriously. I mean, that's what it feels like right now.
Well, I tell you what. Right now, the internet is just blowing up with Cowboy fans going after each other. I got to say, I'm one that is very down on that. You know what, folks? This is what I'm getting, though. Rodney, why is it when Cowboy fans like me start questioning, all of a sudden you see someone give a big shout-out and say, well, win, lose, draw, I'm a Cowboy fan for life. Well, Village Idiot, we are too. We are too.
Right.
We love our Cowboys, but you know what? We like to question what the hell's going on out there as well. It's a stupid statement. It's the same statement that when we went to Iraq and fought, you know, they had those stupid signs, I support the troops. Who the hell didn't support the troops?
Right.
We didn't support being over there, but we were supporting our troops.
It's like, thanks, Captain Obvious.
It's a stupid statement that right now on the internet.
It
right
is.
Now, hey, you don't like it, just leave. No, screw you, pal. we could still question our team. That's what it's all about.
Which is exactly why I try to stay away from the internet.
I can't help it, man. When they start ripping on you, man.
God help you, man. But I tell you what, if I dive in too deep, my blood pressure gets high. My wife starts looking at me funny. Right. She can see it on my face. And, you know, it's tough. And you know what? That's what makes – at least we have a fan base that's passionate about it. At least we have – fans,
but don't
that,
be passive about it
no,
either.
No, and I'm
and,
with
and
you.
They
I'm
are.
I'm
they,
with you.
They're
on
very
that.
Passive. Win, lose, or draw. I'm a
I'm
Cowboy fan. If you don't like it, then get off.
Well, and what that tells me is that particular fan is not really living and breathing and dying with
the
team.
Say they are.
Well, they can say that, but I don't think that. I would have a hard time believing it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'll speak from my perspective as a fan is that, you know, after a loss, don't talk to me for 15 minutes. My family knows it.
Right.
You know, my friends know it. Leave me be. And after 15 minutes, I calm down. I can get on with the rest of my day. I'm still not happy about it, but I still got to get up and go to work and do this, do that, whatever. Come in here and we talk about it, and I get some of my frustrations out.
Right.
And there's others that it'll last even longer for them. And then there's others who say win, lose, or draw. Oh, I'm still a diehard. That doesn't mean that you're a better fan.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm a worse fan. I take it personal when my teams lose, but that's my competitive nature. You and I could sit here and throw, you know, quarters into a bucket and I lose. I'm going to be pissed off for 15 minutes that I lost to you.
Win, lose, or draw. I'm very happy that we're still friends.
Yeah. No, and at the end of the day, we still would be, but I'm still going to be pissed off. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you. And I think we should always question. That's the one thing about it. I had a teacher. I had a professor in college that says, who trusts their government? And 90% of these college students put their hands up in the air. And you know what he said? He said, I feel sorry for all of you. You never trust your government. You question your government. That's how the system works. You have to question what's being out there.
Right.
And if we got a product out there right now that's not doing the job, I think we start questioning it.
Absolutely. Very natural. It's a very natural thing to do, and you should. No,
why
I
should we accept
agree.
It?
But, well, no, we shouldn't be the herd being, you know, moved around by the shepherd. Like, we should question what we're doing. Why did we do that? Well, that doesn't make sense. Why did we do that? You know, whatever. We should be.
Yeah.
That's our rights as fans. Because, I mean, think about how much money we fork over, how much time we invest in these teams. God damn it. If I want to ask questions about it or call somebody out on something, I should be able to do that.
Right. And no one should No one should question you being a solid Cowboy fan either.
Right. As long as you do it reasonably and know that it's coming from a place of love and whatever else about our team, then we should be able to do that.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. We got a big game coming up against the Redskins. I don't know if this is going to be a type of affair to where I really care about playoffs anymore. I just want to finish the season off maybe in a 500 fashion.
Even if we win out and go 10-6, I don't think it's going to be enough.
You don't think that'll make it?
It'll be on the fringe. It'll be right there. I don't know. It'd be tough.
Right.
Can you believe, I just pulled it up, that we're a 1.5-point favorite currently?
On the road?
No, we're at home this time.
Well, we're at home this
even
time.
Even at home, we're still a 1.5-point favorite. I find that hard to believe.
Well, it really is hard to believe. I really think that Washington just going to exploit the hell out of that DBs that we have. They're pitiful.
Right.
They're pitiful.
As you said earlier, I don't know that we're going to get as much pressure on Kirk Cousins as we did that first time around.
Right.
Because they've got most of their guys back.
Again, though, if Irving goes to the defensive end side,
that'll help.
I mean, I think it's going to be closing that pocket really well.
Yep.
Because maybe they're seeing something in this guy here that he could at least just obtain that hole and not shoot out of there like a bat out of hell or anything like that, you know?
Right. No, I agree.
So anyway, we're gonna be at home then.
Yep.
We're gonna be at home. I thought we were away. What the hell was I thinking? Anyway,
nope.
Well, I tell you what, Rodney, I'm happy with what I said, man. I mean, I got that off my chest.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. I feel better. I got it off my chest. I'm over it. We're moving on. And, you know, we kind of saw this coming potentially, I guess, in a way. Because
you
we
did
lost,
more than I did, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you seen this, and I kind of go, the hell. You know, me and Steve-O were talking, and it seemed like you were like, hold on, guys. Don't be going crazy over the Dak show right now. Things might change. And, you know, I hope you're wrong still. I hope that he does.
I do too.
I hope he does find his form again. But I tell you what, it just seems like we got a surgeon out there that's missing his machinery for the operation.
Yeah, without question. And clearly now that we know who the voice of reason is on this show. Sorry, well, shameless plug. No, I get it. And I hope I'm still wrong, too, on some level. And I'm not, again, that wasn't me jumping off the Dak bandwagon. I still like Dak. I'm still a huge fan of him. I think within the right system, he can be extremely competitive. He's got some tools that a lot of quarterbacks just don't have.
If let's play the devil's advocate here, and let's say that we start losing and we're not looking good at all.
Right.
Do you start looking possibly for the draft?
Well, I think you have to anyway. I think you have to.
We brought that out on Cowboys podcast, and we had a lynch mob.
They came after it?
Oh, they came after us big time.
Then I guess they're going to come after me too. But yeah. I think you always have to – and this isn't – just because we have Zeke as a running back, does that mean that we can't draft a running back at some point in time? Will it be in the first round? No. You know, you always have to be looking to make your team better. Always. And if we bring in a good young quarterback in the draft who we know is not going to just step right in and become the number one quarterback, but there is a certain level of healthy competition that will help raise Dak's performance by drafting a quarterback that might push him a little bit.
Hey, this just in today, sources have told Clay Travis, Fox Sports News here, folks, that Jason Witten has expressed interest in immediately taking over as head coach of Tennessee Volunteers.
No. Really?
I'm not kidding. This is Fox Fox Sports, and this is Fox Sports Radio, and this is legit news here. And what do you think's going through Jason's mind on this?
I don't know. It's going to take me a minute to process that. Is that for, like, really?
Yeah.
Like, this year? Like, I mean, that means he'd have to retire.
Yeah.
Because he has to go out on the recruiting trail. That becomes his full-time job.
That becomes
He's a Dallas Cowboys, they're not his full-time job anymore.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, if that is his genuine interest, then that means he's walking away at the end of the year, which I'm not – wouldn't be a huge fan of.
Which you're looking at a guy right now saying that we're not going to make it.
Right.
I tried all these years to try to get to the Super Bowl. I thought we had a winning team 2 years ago. Last year we had – I mean, this is the type of mentality that goes down with these guys that are saying, you know what, I got my money, and all I was looking for was a team that could take me to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And loyal as he is, he's saying that, you know what, I think I've had enough.
Boy, that would be sad if that's how he goes out. But I don't know.
What I'm starting to process him to go out.
I know, I get it, but I'm starting to process this a little bit more. He has no head coaching experience. Of course, he's played at the highest level. Don't stop. Everyone just looked at me, or whenever they hear that, well, what do you mean? But he's never recruited. He's a football player. That doesn't mean he can't coach. But don't you have to kind of start somewhere? You know what I mean? Like, I just have a hard time believing.
Well, he's a damn good guy, though.
Context of this? Did he say, like, well, you know what I mean? Like, well, what's the context?
Well,
of
we'll find out, because if this is legit news that I'm thinking it is by Clay Travis, I think that he's the type of guy that I would want to welcome in my living room and sit down with my son.
Oh, without question.
I mean, this is a legit type of person that would really do wonders for the program, and he would recruit good people.
Sure. No, I get all that. I absolutely get all that. And he would be a great ambassador for any university, especially his alma mater.
Right.
I don't know. It doesn't seem right.
No, you're right.
You know, like, did he just kind of say this comment and now it's running wild on social media? You know what I mean? Like, saying, like, well, I'd be interested in that. Well, I'd be interested in dating a supermodel. Doesn't mean it's happening.
Interest in immediately taking over as head coach.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. I'll believe it when I see it, And I mean, good for him. If that's what he chooses to do, he has every right to do it. And I would be a fan of Tennessee at that point. I'm a
Mizzou, but I would watch, and that's my East rival too.
Right.
And I would kind of be cheering on Jason too. Winton. And
that would be interesting. I would follow that story if it is true. Without
question. I mean, you look at it. You know, he's thinking, dude, I was wide open. In the end zone. I don't get the ball thrown at me anymore. This isn't the Tony Romo days anymore. Right. You know what? I don't need to get bashed in for 5-6 yard passes.
Sure. No, and he is. He's beat up. He plays hurt all the time. We never really hear about a lot of injuries, but you know that guy's banged up all the time.
Right.
But he's tough. He goes out and plays every day. He deserves all the credit in the world.
We'll be monitoring this one.
Yeah.
This
if that's what time. He chooses to do, I would become a Tennessee Volunteers fan.
Not all the way. I mean,
no.
You still stick with my Missouri Tigers.
Absolutely
right?
Not.
What?
I don't know. I'm an Illinois fan.
Illinois, you haven't won a game in 5 years.
We were 2-9.
Who'd you beat?
Some South Division Dakota two. Winchester Community College.
It's unbelievable. You mean you don't support the men in black?
I absolutely do not. I wish they would bring that rivalry game back.
It's coming back. 2024.
Man, it's been too long. That was always fun. yeah, in fairness, I am an Illinois fan, but usually the roots began in basketball. Unfortunately, the football
team. You guys wear orange.
Yeah, flying Illini.
What the hell is – what, you're deer hunters out there or what?
It is Central Illinois. I don't know if you've been up there, but it's like University of Illinois and then woods around it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Definitely need that orange vest out there.
It'd be a good idea. Hunter safety.
Hey, folks, we're going to have a show Thursday. We'll have Steve-O back here. It'll be us three. And Rodney, I swear to you, I'm not going to let you down.
Uh-huh.
I do have that theme music to get you – You're in it, man. You're in it this time. You're in it. You heard our producer. He said he's got it going.
He said that last week.
All right. But just believe in me this time.
All right.
Hey, folks, we'll see you this Thursday, and I'm glad we got some off our chest. I'm sure you guys I know we pissed off a lot of Dak people. You pissed off Des people. I'm one of the Des people here, too. So in any case, let's regroup. Let's put things together and move on. And from Cowboy Podcaster, take care. From Rodney Jano, we are out of here.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.